When did you notice the opioid problem where you live?
Really, when I got in this field, I was oblivious to it. Yeah, when I was just a case manager or doing other things, I didn't know. When I started getting in this field, I started looking at the obituaries and, oh, there's an opiate, you know, overdose. I was blind to it, but it was everywhere. Success to me is really having them being connected to their hopes and to their dreams, having them have happiness, I guess, in the little things. So,
which is super hard sometimes.
Yes.
I think that's like a really hard thing for most people, regardless of if you have a substance abuse issue. It's like being content and more than that with where you are in life.
And I think a lot of times our clients know what it's like to lose over and over and over again, so they also have the opportunity to be grateful for the things that they have, probably more than many other people.
Through the drug court, have you like learned anything personally from it?
Yeah, no, I've learned the potential of people and what they can, the things that they can do. A lot of people say that these people, they don't change, and people do change. It's amazing the changes that they can make. They can change their beliefs, their behaviors. Yeah, I guess that's one of the biggest things I've learned is people change.
Rule one is the associations. You need to cut ties with those who do drugs and those who participate in criminal behavior, because the studies show, and they did this interesting study years ago that they call the Rat Park Study, that says that a rat will take this drugged water and will take that water over the other water until it dies. However, one of the researchers noticed that those were the only two choices, water or drugs, and there was nothing else in that rat's world. So what he did was he attached a whole rat world where they had associates, you know, friends, good food, running wheels. They called it Rat Park. Everything a rat could want. Do you know what? Those rats did not do the drugs. Now, I know we're talking about higher functioning beings here, but we're not that different. If we can build ourselves our own park, you can be successful in breaking those associations. And when you break those associations and build good ones, that's what helps you come out of addiction.
I'd love to have long-term, you know, good results, that people come out of drug court and they're able to never use again. I would love to have that, you know, be our measure of success. But you know what? Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we have to take those 90 days, those 2 years, those whatever you did in drug court, whatever you were able to do in drug court, we got to claim that as some success, because for some of these people, that's the longest they've ever been sober. And maybe it's a matter of lather, rinse, repeat. You got to come through it a few times before we get you out of that cycle. And we ought to be willing to do that, to spend the time and to say, you're not a lost cause, even though you failed before. Come back in, we'll try again.
You know, I had a young lady. She was just about to have a baby. She had been set for termination. She violated so many rules, and she was in jail at this time and rather defiant of the program, held back. At her termination hearing, she got up to the podium and the judge asked her why she wanted to be in drug court, why she should stay in drug court. And at that moment, you just saw her completely break down, change. You actually watched everything leave. And at that point, she became humble to the program. She changed her entire life, and to this day, I mean, that's been years ago, she's never gone back to that person. And that's one that really sticks with me, because a lot of people think that once you're at a certain point and you're in so much trouble, you can't turn around, you can't change. That's just it, everybody's given up on you. It was huge watching her do that. We don't really have the resources of housing. You know, that's very difficult. A lot of our participants are homeless. We don't have the rehabs we should, the accessibility to them, detox centers. These are all things. Our resource is jail. And that, I think, is the problem.
It sounds like it's expected that, like, you're going to have some hurdles. You might have a problem getting over some of them in the beginning, and that's okay.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely know that when someone's coming in, I mean, you have to think about it. They're coming in from, you know, not having a job for several years, or, you know, not having really any responsibilities for the last several years, to having to have, like, all of these responsibilities. They have to work, they have to come to treatment, they have to be clean, they have to change their behaviors, and it's a lot. So we don't expect that someone's going to come into the program and just, you know, hit it running, because most of them don't. The point of drug court is to build those supports, to build you back in the community, to build your relationships with your family, and to get you to a place where you never ever have to go back to the old playground or the old people that are still choosing to do those things. We've given you all of that. We've given you all of those options by the time you graduate this program. You have a different way to live. You just have to choose to stay there.
I do know that I see people in our community who went through the drug court program years ago, and I see them and they're still doing well. And that's very satisfying, because those are people who I fear, had we not had the ability to treat them and work with them in drug court, may have just been cycled through the penal system and would still be in a very serious addiction. So even though it may not be perfect, even though it may only be half the people we work with that ultimately clean themselves up, it's worth it. It's worth it for those folks, it's worth it for those folks' families, and quite frankly, it's even worth it for the other 50% that don't clean themselves up long term if we can clean them up for a period of time.
This is something that you have taken on by choice. Why do you do it?
I believe in it. I think it's much more successful than simply have people cycle through prison and then come back into the community. We try to focus on treatment and change and getting people out of addictions. If we are focusing on trying to punish people for their addictions, it's not going to benefit our community when they get back out. We're going to put them into prison where they're going to have associations with individuals who are truly criminal rather than simply just addicted. And they're going to come back worse people often than they were when we sent them to prison. And so I just think it's better for everyone. It's better for them if they can get rid of those addictions that have been plaguing them in their lives and become productive people in our community, re-engage in family and friend relationships. You may have heard a little of that today. And reconnect often with children that they may not have had contact with. So for the participant, it is so much better, but it's also so much better for society.
Please remember me happily by the rosebush laughing with
Bruce. Those are members of the Carbon County Drug Court team, including Dane Keel, a clinical mental health counselor, Sean Bryan, the deputy county attorney, Angela White, a drug court tracker, Kara Cunningham, the program director for Four Corners Community Behavioral Health in Price, and District Court Judge Doug Thomas. And with Utah Public Radio, I'm Kristen Munson.
This UPR original series is brought to you in part by the Association for Utah Community Health, providing training and technical assistance to health centers and affiliates across Utah. More information available online at auch.org.
Heard from someone you're still pretty.